issues over there, fanboy?
Every day.
Hello and welcome to the May 15th edition of The Laughing Place. So funny. Of the laughing.
It's written down.
I was looking. I had it here. I had to bring it out here.
Wait, you needed to put on your long distance glasses, your spectacles?
I may not have invented these bifocals.
I assure you they're rose colored. Hey, look, I can walk.
I think they're not rose colored.
Not rose colored.
But
no.
He did invent them.
Yeah. And he did walk upstairs. Well, more like.
Give or take. Anyway, this is the Laughing Place podcast. You may know us as the LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Today, I am your host. My name is Doobie, but today I am Captain James Tiberius Kirk, crewman, stowaway of the USS Enterprise.
On my left, look at your hands.
On my left, the lovely, no first name, Aurora.
Sure.
What?
Aurora.
Yeah.
Aurora.
You go with it. Yeah, okay, fine.
Briar Rose.
Of course, Doobie, you did after the movie say, she's not hot.
She's not. What can I say? Am I right?
According to Twitter, I am.
The Terry Hatcher of the new generation.
Am I right? Captain John today is playing the part of the very intense Spock.
I find that choice highly illogical.
And of course for me, fanboy, a.k.a. Olsen. Now, you may not remember Olsen. Picture him in a red suit.
Hey, trivia for you. Do you know who originally was supposed to play Olsen?
I just read that, but I don't remember.
The pilot from The Pilot of Lost.
How could they not do that?
I think he was shooting heroes or something. Which begs the question, what was Spock doing? But hey.
Actually, I must say, that would have been over the line. The way they did it, we'll get to that. We've got at least 50 worlds. You see what that says there? 50 worlds or less.
It is Star Trek to explore 50 worlds and new civilizations.
But this week, we're actually going to talk Disney. But before that, remember, you can reach us at podcast@laughingplace.com, 866-789-4008. You can post a message on the podcast section of laughingplace.com, discussion boards. Anyway,
Doobie.
Yo.
We saw Star Trek this week, right?
See?
Once or twice. And but it might not have been the best sci-fi themed entertainment experience in Central Florida this week.
What's on your mind, fanboy?
I understand that Stitch's Supersonic Celebration premiered.
Well, I did have the opportunity to see that this week, and let me tell you, compared to Star Trek or anything else, it's really. What did you think?
I think it was the worst show since The Magic of Brother Bear.
Wow.
Spirit.
Okay, so are you saying it's better than Brother Bear?
Oh, it's better than Brother Bear, but just because it had Domo Arigato.
I'm not sure it's better than Brother Bear.
Excuse me?
I'm not sure it's better than Brother Bear.
How?
Let's talk about the Stitch's Supersonic Celebration.
Can I describe it to the listeners?
Please do, Rebecca.
Okay, it's over on little Aurora. Stage. It's Uhura.
It's what?
Uhura.
Uhura. You're much hotter than she is.
Thank you very much. Speaking of which, you guys should email Doobie and ask him, or maybe I'll get him to tell later how he needs to learn how to use Twitter appropriately. But
I thought you were going to say, speaking of hot, Stitch's Supersonic Celebration and trying to watch it.
Well, it's at a stage that they've constructed over by the Space Mountain area. It would kind of be almost under what used to be the Skyway.
Between Carousel Progress entrance and Space Mountain.
Remember where they used to have that stage? It's kind of there.
That's an excellent point.
That's the stage that used to have that overhang, right?
That's the one.
And it has the unfortunate circumstance of having no shade, and this is Florida, and it's hot. And so that's the first thing you have to overcome in the show. The second element of the show is it's a lounge singer kind of guy and four galactic beauties in psychedelic kind of rainbow prismed go-go dresses and high go-go boots.
You are not being fair. Lounge singers of the world deserve better than that.
No, I thought he was entertaining. I think his name. I could never figure out what his name was. Every time they said it, I couldn't figure out. I knew it was some sort of cute little.
I know in our article it's Tip, so I hope that's right.
Yeah, I think it is Tip. Tip yes. Cloud Kicker or Tip O'Neill, Tip something.
I don't know. It was some cute little Disney type, name, but I couldn't ever figure out what it was. So they are leading us in the celebration of Galaxy Day, when we are interrupted because he goes to a live transmission from somebody in a, you know, remote location, like what happens, you know, Dick Clark throws it over to the East Coast, to the West Coast, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, no, Ryan Seacrest is now on the East Coast, so I don't know who he throws it to on the West Coast, but throws it over to the West Coast, and that person is not there. Instead, it is Stitch. And through the magic of Disney, Stitch interacts with the audience a little bit, talks to the little girl in the pink striped shirt, talks to the guy in the red suit, you know, that kind of thing.
See, that is an optional element, because when I saw it, there was no one there sitting, because it was too hot, so it just was very awkward.
So when we were there, there was a little girl, and he talked to her and you know, did a little bit of interaction, a la the crush type thing that happens over at Turtle Talk. And then there's lots of singing and dancing. They perform...
The future has arrived.
From the Meet the Robinsons for me.
I think that's what that's from.
Okay. And then they perform Rubberneckin', which is an Elvis song.
Rubberneckin', you're the one.
Yeah, that's it.
Make halftime so much fun.
And they perform These Boots Are Made for Walking.
And that is what they do.
Yep.
Well, and they have boots, so it's only logical.
Yeah, exactly.
Any lyrics at all.
They're gonna walk all up. Oh, I do.
Yeah, we saw that this week too. So that's Tequila. Pretty much the show. What is what, like 10-15 minutes? You edited the video. You would know exactly how long it lasts.
Actually, I thought it was 25.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
That's really long.
Let me rephrase that as 20.
Okay, yeah. That makes
does
sense.
That include the pre-show?
That's still pretty beefy.
No, because the pre-show just runs all the time, doesn't it?
No.
The TV screens don't go all the time?
Oh, so it is that actual countdown to showtime? Oh, yeah. That's
really?
Cute.
I thought they just ran.
Oh, hey, is that the hat you Shamu gave you?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. He's wearing a Shamu hat.
The real Shamu, not to be confused with the fake one.
It has that ooh moment when you think this is like a pre-recorded dialogue thing with Stitch, and then Stitch says, "Hey, you
in the
ugly red shirt." No, really, I'm talking to you. Ooh.
Yeah.
And that's about all it's got going for it. Yeah. And then
and that's getting a little old.
And then it has the agony of defeat, because at the end, Stitch comes out dressed as Elvis, like big rubberhead Stitch comes out. And you're thinking, cool, this is a great opportunity for them to use their articulated head so we can see Stitch is really there talking to us. But no, he's talking, but no lips are moving. So.
You know what's weird about it?
You're just cranky. I like the show, by the way, for those of you who are wondering.
This guy exited the show with a Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor shirt on after the end of it. He, like, from behind the stage. I wonder what he was doing.
He was determining whether or not it was funny.
Someone comes up to you and goes...
That worked on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's determining whether or not it's funny.
I made the universal symbol for bump, as every cast member or annual pass holder knows. They don't even do that anymore, do they?
No, they have little pieces of paper. Yeah, that is a good point. Like, they can't put this attraction too close to Laugh Floor, because Monstropolis would die.
What's better, Stitch or Laugh Floor?
Laugh Floor.
Yeah, it is.
Air conditioner.
So. Well, I haven't seen the show. I will say that the stage looked pretty cool.
The problem is that I think with the Stitch part is the show around it is pointless. Like, I mean, the songs are even good, but they're just done in such a bland way.
Okay.
That you know by the time Stitch is talking, you're like, okay, there's a girl in a pink shirt. I've seen Turtle Talk. I've seen, you know, done much better.
You've seen Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor right down the road.
Well, because he'll talk to the girl in the pink shirt, but. They'll just say, "Hey, how's it going? Oh, that's your name." But it doesn't have any comedy to go with it. There's no, like, bit.
Oh, right. Okay.
Laugh Floor, no. But and they don't show, other than a snapshot at some point later, they generally don't show the person in the audience they're talking to. So you can't really see the other half of the conversation. So,
yeah.
It has some positives. I mean, we got to be fair. It's got live performance, which is better than non-live performance.
Sometimes.
It's got dancing girls.
It does.
It's got robot dancing guys who are not just your typical Disney dancers, but they actually look like they're holdovers from extraterrestrial pirates.
Exactly. Did you notice the XS Tech reference?
Yes.
I think I did.
And it's the pre-show is hosted by Little Tom Morrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tom Morrow 2.0.
And then when he's picking out one of the elements of it is Stitch wants to give us all presents, so he gives us robots. And when he's constructing the robots, some of the portions that he can pick – one of them is like a Buzz Lightyear representation. Another one is Timekeeper.
One's definitely Tron, right?
Or I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And another one was like Timekeeper. So there's some cute little, you know, Disney nods
in
it.
I mean, you just plain like it, correct, Rebecca?
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Great, not great.
It's not great, but
it's
I like
great.
It. No, it reminds me a lot of the little DCA one-ups they have.
Playmosphere.
Yeah, reminds me a lot of those, too.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, Farmer
Mickey's
Mickey.
Garden.
Yeah.
Remember when they added Mickey's voice to Mickey's Garden?
Remember when they didn't have Mickey's voice to Mickey's Garden?
Yeah, no, I agree it's like that, but in terms of quality, but it seems like it's supposed to be a bigger scale, considering all the live stuff going on and the...
Big permanent stage.
It can't be... I mean, I just know that there were more people involved in the show when I saw it than people watching the show, yeah. Which can't be a good sign.
Well, and the hard part right now is that with the weather, which, you know, it's Florida, and it's hot, and...
Yeah, but that's not unexpected.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's really not like DCA when it first opened and it was really cold that year.
Mm-hmm. Wind's not unexpected either. Question to anyone who may know, is this just a Space Mountain and the Arcade are closed, we need to get people into that part of Tomorrowland show, or is this thing supposed to hang around for a while?
That's not a 6 month budget.
See, that's the thing though. Once Space Mountain is back up again and TTA is back up again, then people will actually be in Tomorrowland at mm-hmm. that point. So I think you'll have enough people who will be kind of suckered into watching it.
Well, you want to hear the wild rumor I heard was that when Space Mountain comes back up, this was supposed to be the Stitch attraction for Tomorrowland, and they were going to replace Stitch's Great Escape.
Oh, how funny!
You can't replace pigs with pigs.
Swine flu.
Wow.
That would work. I
think. Wait. Okay, wait. Here's the bigger question. Not whether or not you liked it, but whether or not did you like it better than Stitch's Great Escape?
I'm thinking the best solution for that would be to close them both. But if I only had to have one, I would keep Stitch's Great Escape.
Oh, see, I like this one.
I would pick this one just because I mean Stitch's Great Escape obviously has a bigger scope, you know. So I mean, obviously, but that this is a attraction for everybody, for a character that appeals to everybody,
right.
As opposed to attraction that scares the bejeebus out of you. But it's also you could do something with that area of Tomorrowland is not going to be used for anything exciting.
If you want to look in that way, I can see that. But just in terms of enjoyment.
Well, Stitch's Great Escape is obviously the bigger attraction.
That doesn't make it better.
Sure it does. Mission Space is much better than Gohan Magic.
Touche. All right, and then there were some other changes to the Magic Kingdom this week, or last week. The parade, now this is the main parade, not the mini. You don't have any audio?
It keeps cutting in and out. Okay, it's back. Oh, it's out. It's there. Okay, I hear now.
Oh, you should keep that in.
I might. The parade, and this is a major parade.
Right. The Celebrate Dreams Come True.
Even though at Disneyland the mini parade is the only parade,
right.
This is the major parade. That's not as major as the nighttime parade.
Right.
But that's not as small as the anyway.
Cavalcade.
Changes.
Yes.
They got rid of the bad guys?
Yes, they did.
And put in more characters.
Yes, they did.
Walking along the street.
They did. Including Abu. And I don't know how...
When was the last time he showed up?
And there's a good reason you haven't seen him around a lot.
Does he look it?
He looks like a rally monkey while the buzzards are circling.
Leave Abu alone. He's my only friend.
Yes, we know.
But before there were no characters walking along the parade route, right?
Right.
Just dancers. And now people can actually shake hands with a character.
Yeah, they got...
Like Abu.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, the finale float had, like, characters on it. Well, they took Chip and Dale and Pluto off and put them at the beginning of the parade. So to replace them, they just have two dancers waving. They're like, I don't care about you. I don't care about you at all.
That's the shift, man. Dancers pay for standing there and waving?
I know, exactly. It's like I would join the parade department if I could only do the rope, the rope carrier.
It's like playing Mrs. Claus. That's the gig. I don't think they'll cast me for that.
Better chance of Snow White. They added Geppetto and Falfello and Gideon.
We really need cast members.
Genie, Jafar, and Abu. Lady Tremaine, Drizella, Anastasia, Susie and Perla.
That's a lot of characters.
Lilo and Stitch, Woody and Jessie.
Lilo and Link have
I think
girl.
Buzz, too, if I'm not mistaken, but don't quote me on that one.
So when they add Lilo and Stitch, do they make sure the parade doesn't run at the same time as Stitch's show?
No, they didn't, because I ran right from the parade to such a show. Tweedledee, Tweedledum. And
well, see, Tomorrowland is actually like in a different time.
I buy that explanation.
Do you remember that time that we were at, we were on Main Street, and we're getting ready to go to have my birthday lunch, and it was that, you know, my Disney birthday, mm-hmm. and Mickey and Minnie were coming, you know, and you knew they were coming. And we had a little friend with us, and he's like 5 years old. And then they announced it was time for some show. It was a time for like Mickey's Detective School, and he was like, "But isn't he gonna be? He's gonna miss your birthday." It was so cute. He was so worried. We're like, "Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. He'll make it."
I remember when DCA first started soft opening, and I was 102 Dalmatians Cruella was walking in Sunshine Plaza. Uh-huh. So I was like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna go meet my friends at Disneyland." So I go across the street, and there's just normal Cruella meeting folks in Times Square.
Quick change artist.
It's like when they discovered they can't really do rehearsals in the Golden State after hours.
Yep.
They discovered that? They actually tried it?
Yep.
It was fun. Don't you remember seeing the electrical parade?
I saw a rehearsal of Fantasmic from Club 33 once, well after hours, and even then...
Creeped you out?
No, there were no...
Oh, no half-dressed?
No half-dressed. There were some, as I recall, some undressed.
Yeah.
But no half dress.
But you were with me that time that we saw the bags.
Oh, that was...
That was the scariest... I've told you about that, right, Captain, with Fantasmic?
Yeah, uh-huh.
The body bag. Well, I sometimes have to use a ECV because of my leg. And on this particular trip, I was using the ECV when we went to Fantasmic here at Walt Disney World. And they bring you down a winding ramp on the far side of the theater. And it's slightly behind stage. And sitting on Steamboat Willie were these giant clear trash bags. And it was
clear
a large,
trash bag?
Yeah, it was a large and then a little outfit and then little shoes. So it was just like, it was like somebody had stepped on the dwarfs. They were just laying out.
That seems like it's an easy problem to fix. Use black trash bags.
It was slightly disturbing.
Oh, dude, those bags are dangerous, though.
And you know what's so funny about it? Is I'm such a Disney geek in some ways, like value the magic type. I can't believe I'm talking about this on the podcast. I didn't take any pictures of it because it didn't feel right. So well, I don't have any pictures of it.
Speaking of things that didn't feel right, we went to the Wipeout road trip here downtown Disney. And I got to experience the joy that is competing in Wipeout. And
without mud or anything. Mud, it's like an air pit. It was nice.
And then I met Ballsy. The Wipeout mascot.
Yep.
That's not quite the just another line of great Disney character meet and greets. That like, you have to sign a waiver for.
As we were there, I was just thinking, not really the kind, because the guy is trying to get, the Barker is trying to get people over to enjoy Wipeout, and he's yelling things like, "Come meet Ballsy." Ballsy's over here, and you're thinking, you know, it's not really what you expect to hear at
But the nice thing is they take video of you, and then they forward you an email with the link to the video. And let me see if I can find the email real quick.
Oh, dude. Was it you?
What's that?
Did you look at your video?
Not quite.
Email you forwarded me, the one that you got?
Yeah.
It was like perfect.
Yeah, so...
Because my issue is that I typed in the number I'm supposed to type in, and the picture that it brought up is not me. It's somebody else.
Oh, well, see, my email says, "Relive your Wipeout road trip. ADODB field error 800 AOBCD.
No.
Either BOF or EOF is true, or the current record has been deleted.
Oh, no.
Requested operation requires a current record."
I actually know what that means.
Can you fix it for me?
Can't do that, but I know what it means.
Yeah, we had Gideon take his picture with Ballsy, and I went to the website to pull it up, and when I typed in the little code number that I was given, I actually had a picture of somebody else.
That's good.
So, I'm hoping I just typed in the number wrong.
No incriminating evidence.
So. If I typed the number in wrong.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Damn.
Is the parade better?
With all the new characters?
Yeah, it's better. That's...
Wait, you know what? They should get one of those dancers that nobody cares about off one of the floats. Put Ballsy there instead.
that'd be a good idea.
And be sure to check out Wipeout.
Synergy. So, you know, and you said ABC Primetime Preview Weekend was dead. But
So it's on tour right now.
That was worth the 99 cents.
They're bringing, they're bringing the spinning log and the sucker punch wall.
That hurt.
And you can sign up and you can go play. I didn't play because of my leg. I wanted to. But I did take Gideon over to get his picture taken with Ballsy.
Speaking of Wipeout, there's that other thing we did at Downtown Disney.
Say farewell to the Virgin Megastore?
Exactly.
And good riddance?
Well, we can only hope
it was warm in there.
Has anyone been there to verify it actually is closed? And to see what kind of Imagineering a new attraction sign they put in front?
10 years.
No.
10 years and we'll get an IMAX.
That'd be awesome. We need an IMAX because right now...
Rumor is we're getting two.
Ooh.
Stereo.
Are we going to get a real one, or are we going to get one of these fake IMAX that are going up on? Did you hear about that? That's the new... That's
the new fake IMAX, yeah.
Is that like a giant screen or something?
Yeah,
it's just a big screen with the brand.
With the brand, but it's not a true IMAX, so people are whining because they
IMAX
pay...
IMAX brand?
Yeah. And so they're going and they're paying the
That's
big bucks.
That's a great
bucks.
Way to maintain
they're
the value of your
They're going and paying
brand.
A big bucks for an IMAX movie and the screen is like a lot
Wait,
smaller.
Aren't there some big screens that are like IMAX but aren't IMAX brand?
Yeah, because they don't meet the...
And now we have
schedule.
One of our IMAX.
Well, because I think they're taking over all the ones that weren't actually branded.
I think that's what happened. Okay. I don't know. I didn't read the full article. I just saw the image of the true IMAX and this other one.
Yeah,
and I was like,
like,
oh yeah, I'd complain too. Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing since like they do all of their like movie theater conventions here, they probably
awesome.
Would have like a decent setup.
But see, with two IMAXs, you say. They should put one where
they
Disney
call,
Quest
is. Actually, we call
is.
It IMI.
Put one Disney Quest is, put the other one where.
And a third one where Cirque du Soleil is.
No, Cirque du Soleil.
What they should do with one of these IMAXs is put this, like, kind of Tinker Toy contraption in front of it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
Could you imagine it's, like, during the daytime, like, at night they showed movies, and the daytime they ran Soarin'.
Oh, cool. And at night you saw the movie in a Soarin' seat.
Oh, you know what would be cool, even better? Is instead of just, you know, Soren's done at Epcot, just go up into the balloon one day, film it.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing. Turn it into a balloon simulator for the days that thing can't run in the wind.
Exactly.
We're sorry.
Or
please,
for ADA.
Go enjoy the lovely show at
for
the IMAX.
For us acrophobics, they can... here's your... That would be so funny. Anyway, moving on. Disney, doing well or doing badly?
Doing well, comparatively speaking.
Stock price is doing pretty decent.
The media networks did better than expected, mm-hmm. which is probably – well, first of all, they beat the street by 4 cents.
Woohoo!
Street stupid.
Tell me about it.
How can the street be so consistently wrong and people still listen to it?
Because I think that's the big – if you want to make – here's my stock tip. If you want to make money in the stock market, buy an index fund. Don't buy a mutual fund.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fanboy. Wow, you're a regular Warren Buffett. Here's my tip. Buy low, sell high.
Oh, thanks.
And yet he's doing this podcast for free.
I would buy GM, Citibank.
Chrysler.
Yeah, like you can.
eToys.
And Citadel Broadcasting. So anyway, Disney beat the street. Media networks were surprisingly strong because everyone thought the ad market was really going to hurt. Mm-hmm. But they forgot that Disney gets most of their revenue from subscriber fees. But hey.
They forgot?
Yeah. Someone was like, did advertising affect the Disney Channel? How did that affect Disney Channel's ad rate? And they went, Disney Channel doesn't have ads, you genius.
These are analysts?
Then attendance was pretty much flat at the parks, but because of the buy four get three free, it's obviously hurting them. Consumer products was up, but you know what the real stinker was? The studios.
And as Iger so lovely kind of set up Cook in front of the bus, he didn't exactly throw him under the bus.
Actually, we prefer under the train.
Yeah, true. He said it wasn't due to a soft market. No. It was due to the fact that we have crappy picks.
Right. Basically, because, I mean...
That's what he said. He said we had a bad lineup. The market's not that soft. We had a bad lineup.
Movies are on a pace to have a record year in ticket sales, but Disney's not because I guess people just didn't want to see Bedtime Stories or
Race to Witch Mountain. Those are the two that they're
pointing
to.
This is not boding well for my prediction that Dick Cook will be president of the Walt Disney Company.
But in fairness, Earth beat expectations.
Maybe.
Hannah Montana beat expectations. It's all going to sort of come down to up.
It's not unlike Disney to promote people
Just before firing them and then giving them $90 million?
No, you promote them into a new position and then you bring somebody else into their old position.
Like Disneyland. Remember when there was that president who kind of screwed up Disneyland, so they promoted
him? Promoted him to Parks and Resorts and brought somebody
else. But he only screwed him up in our eyes, not in their eyes.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah.
Why did they promote him?
What's that?
Why did they promote him?
I didn't think they...
Oh, wait. That was Michael Eisner era.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob Iger's different.
Exactly.
He'll get rid of the riffraff. Dick Kirk's going to be scooping ice cream at the Soda Fountain Studio Store.
I don't think so.
When was the last time Bob Iger has fired somebody?
I wouldn't know if he did.
The Nina, right?
Nina Myers?
Yeah. No, Jacob Myers. Does not 24.
right? Yes, but no. In that Dick Cook fired Nina Jacobson.
I think that's the last one I remember.
But
well, who could Bob Iger fire then?
He could fire Andy Mooney, Dick Cook, Jay Rizzullo.
Jay Rizzullo?
Andy Bird, Steve Wadsworth.
Not very many people.
And Sweeney.
They're all doing a great job.
Except Dick Cook.
As soon as one's not.
Well, then, and that's what people don't know is how much of a leash do these guys have. I mean, you could say that everyone makes bad movies. I mean, Hollywood doesn't like this quarter-to-quarter thing because, when Disney decide to release fewer movies, the risk for every movie goes up naturally, right? So, I've released two movies. Bedtime Stories was slightly below expectations. Race to Rich Mountain was kind of a bomb. So, based on expectations, then Jonas Brothers was nuclear.
Yeah, very disappointing.
Yeah, so.
Well, think of it this way. Did any of us at this table see Escape to Witch Mountain?
I planned on it.
Yeah, it just came out at a bad time.
Or whatever, Race to Witch Mountain.
Yeah, it just came out at a bad time for me.
So.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So,
totally.
Clearly it wasn't really
If you're looking at Q2, you have Earth, Hannah Montana, and Up. So, those might do better, but unfortunately, you have Bedtime Stories and Race to Witch Mountain coming on DVD, and DVD sales are already sluggish. I wouldn't expect the studios to turn around next quarter.
Okay.
I also wonder if I also wonder how Disney's expectations were versus,
realistic
the whole industry. Yeah. Is Disney as surprised by these performances as we are? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I wasn't surprised. I think they had the misunderstanding that the Witch Mountain thing was a franchise that people cared about. And I don't think most people cared about Witch Mountain.
That's why you don't listen to the fans.
Exactly. Jonas Brothers I was surprised at. I'll give them that. Bedtime Stories I wasn't surprised at.
Just because of the movie?
I don't think it was marketed well. And I don't know that it was a good Christmas Day release. Mm-hmm. I would have probably put that as like an April movie. Okay. But you're comparing it to Pirates of the Caribbean, Q2 last year had Enchanted and National Treasure 2, and that's sort of harder to compare to.
Weren't these films somewhat, isn't this time period somewhat a victim of the writer's strike and the pending... I mean, the whole industry was kind of in a state of upheaval to some extent anyway. I mean, it was kind of shaky ground.
No, I agree. I mean, they probably would have had bigger movies if they didn't have the writer's strike.
That's what I mean by the fact that I wonder sometimes if it seems more – it seems like a bigger deal to us on the outside, but internally it's like, okay, yeah, that stunk.
They're going to make up for it with G-Force.
But you can't use that as an excuse to make bad movies.
Oh, no.
It's not like they released fewer movies. That, I think, would be more understanding. They just released bad movies.
They don't need an excuse to release bad movies. They're going to do it anyway.
So, I don't know. And what's sad is because I like a lot of things the studios are doing, between the 3D re-releases, the Kingdom Comics kind of thing. There's some neat stuff, and I just don't want that forward progression to be stymied by some of this other stuff.
Well, hopefully the animated feature coming out this Christmas will...
Princess in the Frog? Yeah. Well, I can't wait for A Christmas Carol. I'm so excited. I'm going to start celebrating in the end of May by going to Union Station and going on the... What's it called?
Have you heard about this?
The Christmas Carol Whistle Stop Tour?
Well, Robert Zemeckis is doing a mocap film for Disney based on A Christmas Carol.
Mocap.
And,
mocap. smoking.
And to
isn't that a show on UPN?
To promote it, they're having a train train stop thing. Whistle stop train tour.
Okay.
Across the U.S. starting in May.
May. Okay.
In L.A. and traveling across the U.S. in celebration of the upcoming film.
Wow, that's a little bit
featuring authentic artifacts on loan from the Charles Dickens Museum of London.
Oh, man, they couldn't get the Charles Dickens Museum of
Toledo
to contribute.
Oh, yeah. So that'll
it's
going to
feature snow.
This really is a train tour.
Yeah.
I mean, it just hit me that means it only can take place
at a
train station.
Yeah.
We're going to be sitting there on our way back from something.
Gonna have to wait for this thing to cross.
As you're leaving the Amway,
yep.
You'll be stuck waiting for the train. It'll be there goes the Christmas Carol tour.
24 weeks, 40 stops, 36 states.
Wow, so Disney fans have a lot to see this summer. They have the Wipeout tour. They have the Carol train.
And lest you think it's starting in May so that it can end right on Christmas Day, it just takes that long to do all this. No, it will end the weekend of October 30th and November 1st.
Well, I want to go to the Christmas Carol tour on Halloween.
maybe they're trying to encourage everybody to buy their Christmas presents early to kind of stoke the economy.
Yeah, the Disney consumer products.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to feature snow.
Well, that'll be fun.
You know what else they're doing this summer? They're lifting people up on a giant chair hoisted by balloons.
Oh, I want to do that.
Really?
That's cool. I've always wanted to do that. That sounds so cool.
And that, it's unfortunately, I was just going to go to the characters in flight, but since that doesn't work, I'm going to try and find this balloon and see if I can use that.
You know, they could have painted that balloon at Downtown just like a bunch of little balloons, and it could have been like a giant Up promotion.
No, they couldn't, because that'd have been clever.
That'd have been fun. All brightly colored balloons.
You mentioned earlier a film that was on our agenda here that I inadvertently skipped, and that would be The Princess and the Froggy.
That's why I mentioned it.
We saw a trailer for it on apple.com/trailers and other websites.
It's exclusive there.
And YouTube.
And Disney.com.
And
anybody else who embeds it.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Anyway, we all saw it.
Yeah. It looks like fun.
Dopey-dope-dope-dope.
It looks good, but the trailer suffers from being very trailery. Oh. The big epic music, and it seems like it's going to be nothing like the movie.
We see a lot of trailers.
Yes, we do. And we hear four trailer songs.
I've had enough of the trailer. You know, movies, Act One, trailers all have that same flow, including they show the titles at the end and then one more quick laugh.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. Anyway.
You know what? It was different. Cloverfield.
and that's why that felt compelling. Or District 9.
District 9.
Nine, yes.
Department 56.
That's close.
That's what your guys are going to call this film. Hey, this weekend we're going to go see Department 56. And I have to remember that
that's
means
how
District
it happened.
9.
But anyway, back to Princess and the Frog.
Well, they showed a lot of that at the shareholder meeting. So, but it was funny because you know how she turns into a frog. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, Austria. At the shareholder meeting, they just stopped short of that. So she kissed him, and there was the magic pixie dust. And everyone's like, Bob's like, I can't tell you what happened. Everyone's like, she turned to a frog. We're not stupid. We've seen this movie before. And so, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm glad it's not just like the straight Princess and the Frog story, like the Muppets or something. There's at least flesh it out a little bit to 90 minutes.
I liked the voice of the frog. It was nice.
Con.
apparently for the two of you, you think of Ricardo Montalban, but
welcome, princess, to Fantasia.
The frog, the frog. That was an exciting trailer because it felt so much like Beauty and the Beast era.
Well, especially at the beginning. Mm-hmm. From the creators of Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, Rushkers Down Under, comes the 30-second animated feature.
This the thing they did with the drawing of the Otis and then animating them, is that something they've used before?
It seems
Pixar
familiar.
Did that for Wall-E.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they don't draw.
They do on napkins while they're planning out the film at a restaurant.
Yeah, they're planning out the film,
Happy hour,
No, that was the theme of it, was we were sitting at a restaurant and we sketched out the next 18 films for Pixar. They were, and then they show you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're rebooting Star Trek.
No, it was exciting.
Did you see that Lasseter got a doctorate, speaking of Pixar? An honorary. Okay. Honorary. Yeah, it was cool.
From where?
I don't even remember. I just saw the picture
Pixar
on...
Pixar University.
I saw the picture on...
University of Phoenix?
Cartoon Brew. No, I'm pretty sure it was a Northern California school. But yeah, it was posted on Cartoon Brew. There he was, standing there all proud with his black robe.
I read it on LaughingPlace.com that after that he was whining. No, wait.
No, he had a wine dinner.
Oh.
That's his
cool.
Winery.
There is nothing as cool as Food and Wine here as being able to go and watch John Lasseter talk about stuff.
I wonder if he'll be here next year. Because these parks seem to suffer from, brother-sister envy, as it were. Oh, they got to do it. I want to do it, too. So I wonder if he'll be here next year.
That would be cool.
You know how once we get our next round of VC, mm-hmm. we're going to start the Bubba Dumb Foundation?
Yeah. I've got it all sketched out on a napkin we did over dinner.
Yeah. After that, we should start a winery. Because between Diane Disney Miller, Fess Parker, John Lasseter, if you're anybody in the Disney community, you either have to have a train.
Wasn't there a Buena Vista winery? There's like some sort of Disney winery.
It would be for the two of us, two people who don't drink, to start a winery.
That'd be awesome.
I would love that.
It's like the roller coaster designer that won't ride roller coasters.
Yeah, that's cool.
So mm-hmm. we'll do that.
And maybe you guys will look just circle. As foolish doing that as you did drinking the brandy and smoking a stogie on the... Disney Wonder. Disney Magic. You guys were so funny sitting there in that lounge. You can't even figure out how to light the cigars.
Couldn't light the cigar. Swallow the cognac.
She offered to give you guys your money back, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
You guys
were like,
funny.
No, this experience was worth every penny.
I didn't go. I hid in my stateroom.
I would have loved to see that.
Well, we're going. That was awesome. Anyway, so Princess and the Frog, when's it come out? November, December, January?
November, end of November, L.A., New York, and then December 11th, I believe, nationwide.
Cool. Exciting.
Here's going to be a D23 screening.
Details available
on December 12th.
So what are we now, 14 days? We're about 14 days away from up release, something
yep.
like that. Still no news on the website.
But I will say, the D23 sponsorship/partnership with One Man Stream at the studios has been quite beneficial. That, like with the studio celebration, they had a wonderful exhibit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it had various large poster boards filled with information kind of decade by decade of the studios. Well, I guess, what is it, 20s or 2 decades? But no, it was every 5 years, really, is what's going on. And then they had a display of opening day merchandise and periodicals and stuff like that. And that was cool. It's kind of like what they did for Epcot, only way smaller, but still cool. Because, I mean, the park is, a lot smaller.
Yeah,
and they're running a video where you watch them build the theater, and you hear the Imagineers talking about how the theater is what draws you into the park. It's the weenie. It's like the castle. And then you think about it was awesome. I'm thinking, well, you can't see it now. So made me laugh.
Those wacky wed people.
Yeah, so made me laugh. It was I didn't stay to watch the whole thing because I had the little guy, and he was awake. So maybe next time I'm at the studios and he's asleep, I'll go watch the whole video.
Maybe he wants to see it.
I don't know. He was having a good time looking around at everything.
And over across the pond, one of them, apparently the Oriental Land Company is putting in two new attractions into their Disney theme.
Brand spanking new.
One, Toy Story Mania, theming perfectly into Tokyo Disney Sea.
Are they going to actually have it, or are they just going to give everybody a Wii? Sorry.
Touche.
Touche. Sorry.
Take the magic of the Disney experience and play it on the Wii.
Was this what I was complaining about on day one?
Yes,
day
you
zero,
were.
Actually. We'll see. We'll see.
I'm excited because I don't get to the theme park early enough here to get a fast pass because fast passes are gone by 11, and I don't want to wait the hour and a half or whatever it is to get on the ride. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll just play it at home.
I read on the D23 side. I don't know if it was in the press release or anything, but at the end they go, the producer of the game says, it can't equate the theme park experience, although it does have one benefit: the wait's a lot shorter.
That's nice.
So true.
And then the other attraction they're opening in Tokyo Disneyland is – this truly is original, unlike Toy Story Mania. It's, they haven't named it yet, but apparently it's some kind of a walkthrough of the castle where you get to see the story of a Disney animated feature through dioramas and stuff, except this time it's Cinderella.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what was weird about that whole thing, though? They included the budgets. Impressive.
They always do in their –
unfortunately, it's in yen. So I go, $5 billion for – oh, wait.
But you can do conversions so easily.
You can.
Yeah, so the Cinderella cost 2 billion yen and Toy Story Mania cost 11 billion yen, so it should be 5 times better. So, we received an email, people. This is the part where we get
an email, people?
The subject was Soylent
Green. Did you mention Turtle Talk here, too?
No, that's
how many billion yen did you say?
11.5 for Toy Story Mania. Go on, Captain. What else is there?
It says opening on October 1st, 2009, Turtle Talk at Tokyo Disney Sea. So they're bringing that over there too.
How do you say?
It says 11.5.
Whoa! In Japanese.
Dude.
According to Google, 11.5 billion yen is the equivalent of 119 million U.S. dollars.
That's an expensive attraction.
119 million.
I wonder if it costs that much.
What about 2 billion then?
About one fifth of that.
That sounds probably about right, what they probably spent on it. Well, you know, and they're probably paying Disney, like...
And also, going by this concept art here, it's going to have a really, like, it's like a big kind of expansion.
Yeah. Woody's going to take out his ear.
My understanding is it's pretty expensive to build Japan.
$2 billion is a 20.8 million.
Now that seems expensive.
That seems about right.
8 million, that seems about right.
Yeah, for a walkthrough.
So there you have it. If you ever wondered about the prices of attractions.
It's going in the American waterfront section.
And
that
like,
makes sense.
And like Doobie
kind of
says, we've heard it's more
it?
Expensive.
Yeah. Anything you build in an American theme park can then go in. It's like Paradise Pier.
Why is it more expensive to build over in Japan? Do you remember? Is it because it's an island?
My memory is just that it's an expensive place to live. You know, it's kind of like L.A. kind of thing. It's just expensive. The construction companies and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That was from the famed Mark Borelli. If you're out there, Mark, Facebook me. Next up, the part we get to have fun. When a listener asks us a question to give our opinions on something, we get to go around and talk about it because we want to. So Histon98 writes, so I have an idea for something you could do on the next podcast.
On the next podcast?
I know a few weeks ago you guys did great or not great for Disney movies. Well, I had an idea. You could do great or not great for Disneyland rides. Go land by land and say your thoughts on each ride and its greatness or lack thereof. And maybe you could move on to other Disney theme parks as well. So I thought we could start with a couple of lands at Disneyland, see how far we get, and continue this into the future. So,
Chippendale Treehouse? Not great.
Main Street, all not great. Let's move on.
Omnibus.
Come on, Omnibus. Lincoln before...
Okay, let's do Main Street. Main Street vehicles taken as a whole.
Great.
Not great.
Vehicles are great.
Yeah, it's I'm going to go with great.
Because it's not something you can really do anywhere else.
And it adds, I mean, and it's also one of those great attractions that can adds dimension without actually having to ride it.
Like, and it keeps the area kinetic.
Yep. Main Street, a world on the move.
So many benefits.
Fine, you're all wrong. Great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Current version?
Not
great.
The version we all used to like. Since we don't know exactly what's coming back, let's say the version we used to like before. You must live.
Okay, before it became a gimmick.
Spock.
Yeah. Spock.
That was... See, it's hard. I'll say great.
By definition, it's great.
The not-so-great moment.
At times, it's great.
The Walt Disney story, not so much. But...
The world has never had of the word great. Great, yeah.
Of course it's great. Main Street Cinema featuring early Mickey Mouse cartoons.
I was always thought that was dumb.
That's
I
didn't.
Not an option. Not great.
Turn of the century fan. America showing 1928 cartoons.
I was not a fan of that ever. For one thing, there was nowhere to sit.
You sit in the middle.
I'm afraid of saying not great, though, because I don't want them to turn into a store.
Well, that would never happen. It's a better option than others, but it's not good.
See, I like going in there, but I wouldn't say it's great.
It's a great place to go when it's really cold and you're waiting in DCA all night. I mean, Disneyland all night to get into DCA.
It's a great place to hide something for a scavenger hunt because no one ever goes in there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Right, is that all for Main Street?
We had to go find Penny there.
Yes.
Oh, the choo-choo.
Remember when we had to find Penny there?
Choo-choo? Yes, great.
The choo-choo. Main Street, that's great. Disneyland Railroad.
Yeah. Disneyland Railroad's great.
Great.
It's sadly lacking from all of the other Disney theme parks.
The smoking lamp is out.
It is great. And let me ask you guys a quick question. What is your favorite segment of the Disneyland Railroad?
You mean like stop to stop?
Yeah.
Oh, by far, Main Street to Adventureland. Rawr!
That's when you're going to find out that it's circled the globe.
Main Street to New Orleans Square, so you get to get freaked out by the Mardi Gras.
I thought it went Main Street to Frontierland.
No, don't go there.
Didn't it used to be a hyphenated station?
It depends. When it got married? It depends what audio loop they're playing.
Yeah, didn't it used to be like New Orleans Square slash?
That's where the brother died. Frontierland.
I could swear it was the New Orleans Square station in Frontierland.
Okay.
At one point, it was the Frontierland train station, though, before New Orleans
Square.
Okay,
anyway, favorite segment.
New Orleans Square to Mickey's Toontown Fair.
Yep.
Toontown Fair?
I'm sorry.
It's a really long trail.
I've been on the Disney World Railroad more than I've been on the Disneyland.
So you like to see the island, the cabin not on fire,
yeah,
the Splash Mountain.
Quick TikTok.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd go with that.
the conventions.
The festival arena.
No, festival arena.
Okay,
which
wrong.
One do you like?
Remember when that thing was under construction and you'd go on the train
You're
all the time and see
what,
stuff?
You're a fan of, what, Toontown to Tomorrowland and then run! don't stay!
No, Toontown to Tomorrowland's cool because it has AgriFuture.
Yeah.
But,
and you get to go through It's a Small World.
That's where they have the line, a land on the moon. But no, Tomorrowland to Main Street because, they actually turned that part into its own attraction. It has two different attractions right there.
Do you remember the Monorail Cafe?
Touché.
Yeah.
They used to have a map of Disneyland, like, on your placemat.
Yeah, you had to find Mickey.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and there were dinosaurs, like, off to the right of Main Street.
Right.
Well, I must have spent half a day trying to figure out where the dinosaur ride they built was that I was not made aware of. Until I realized it was just the lame diorama.
There's nothing lame about the diorama.
Not lame.
You're lame.
I used to ride.
I am, but that's not irrelevant.
I remember I'd be like, okay, where's Tomorrowland? We can get off the train. And you'd be like, no.
The dinosaur part is cool. The Grand Canyon is
even
not
better.
No.
A salute to all vocations, but mostly taxidermy.
That's what got me interested in taxidermy. I wouldn't have those. Never mind.
I just like it because I love that song. I love the Grand Canyon Suite, so I just close my eyes and enjoy them. One of my favorite moments, we were on a very rather empty train, and we were sitting towards the back of the train, my friend Kaz and I, and the engineer, or whatever they call the guy on the back of the train, he's probably
conductor?
Not the engineer, yeah. Jumped off the train, ran along the train, we didn't know what he was doing, and when we got up there, he was staying there going, he was being a pterodactyl, it was awesome. But we didn't figure that was probably appropriate operating procedure, but we wanted him to be recognized for being a cool caster, so we went and we talked about how his interaction with the attraction was just really inspired a greater enjoyment of the experience, but we didn't go into detail.
He violated 5 laws and 6 regulations.
We didn't figure we should go there. So.
All right, let's move more to the west side.
What side?
If I'm not mistaken, would be Adventureland, Frontierland, all that stuff.
New Orleans Square? Yeah, let's start with Haunted Mansion. Great, not great.
The Enchanted Tiki Room.
Great.
Great.
Great only after they took out the orphan box.
You're wrong.
After they
You're
did.
Wrong.
Oh,
on
you
that.
Could not
so
be more wrong.
You could not be more wrong.
You were so wrong. Great before, great now, but not quite as.
Yeah.
The world famous Jungle River Ride.
Not great.
That's your pirates.
Yep.
Oh, Rebecca, don't disappoint me.
It so depends on your cast member.
Yes, that is a good point.
It does.
Okay, so if you have a good cast member, it's great. If you have a bad cast member who is not enjoying their job, it is not great. It is actually painful.
I'd have to agree with that.
When I get on it, my cast member is always awful.
Really?
Always.
Because they see you.
I know.
It's great 90-30% of the time.
60.
Yeah. I go with that, yeah.
It's great.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones Adventure or Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Indiana Jones Adventure. Forbidden Eye.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye.
Is
great. Though it really depends on which way you go at the beginning.
Which one of the four billion configurations you get. Configurations 1 and 7 are
I remember you used to ride it and be like, oh, which way is it going to go now?
pre ice machine.
I miss the ice machine. That's supposed to go down for a big refurb, isn't it?
Yeah.
And apparently they're bringing the ice machine back.
Is there, seriously?
I mean, that's really cool.
Disney needs to start learning. Don't replace things that don't work.
All I have to say is that if the ice machine, it's true about the ice machine, be there opening day when it comes back from its refurbishment, or you may never see it.
Do you call it great, Rebecca?
Oh, yeah. That's a great ride.
That's great.
That's a great ride.
They moved three attractions.
What's the third?
And it provides you with a show building view at the Grand Californian. You can't overlook the.
Oh, I thought that was an Animal Kingdom Lodge Villa view.
They reconfigured the railroad for that?
Didn't they? They must have. They must have done something with the railroad because they had to build the building underneath.
Something.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. That's. I wouldn't have said great maybe 10 years ago, but.
Now you say great.
It's great now.
Yeah, because then you finally realized it was a ride at the end of it. You weren't just waiting in line to wait in line.
it would be greater if it was never advertised as having 4 million reconfigurations.
Yeah, see, I didn't have that because I was out of state when all the marketing was going on, so that wasn't as big of a.
Spoiler alert. It was really just one room with rims. All right.
And I still don't know where the other 500 million.
Sometimes
you're not moving backwards.
Sometimes the ride cascades. Sometimes.
A lot of dialogue differences.
Those are actually supposed to be rats that are wisping in front of you.
It's nice that that works consistently. I remember when that didn't work hardly at all.
New snake is cool, too.
I remember the first time that worked.
And this would be the fifth snake they've gone through.
I don't know, but it has like fangs that retract and stuff. Yeah.
What is with this new snake, new dragon, and Fantasmic?
New crocodile.
Yeah, new crocodile.
It's like they're obsessed with reptilian.
Flotsam and Jetsam. Okay, continuing on.
Apparently they have a new master of creepy crawlies over there.
That's an executive vice president level position.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Great.
You have to admit it's great.
Against my better judgment, it's great.
It's great. You may not like it, but it's great.
You missed one in Adventureland.
Don't tell me. Oh. Do, 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 whatever the song is now. Tarzan's Treehouse.
Not great. Not great just so I can't get out of the dang land. Not great.
It's better than the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse.
Wrong, sir. You are wrong.
But not great.
I would say it's not great. Because only because of the stupid drawbridge thing. Here, let's climb upstairs to go on a bridge for no reason.
That was just to block the.
That was just to make it more difficult to walk through Adventureland, an oh so spacious area of Disneyland. No, that's hard because I was so fond of Swiss Family Robinson that even though it was good, it didn't. And it's really funny because I can't stand the movie, but I loved the treehouse. In fact, I think that's part of the reason why I don't like the movie. I used to go to the treehouse, and I was like, oh, this is so cool that I saw the movie, and it didn't connect with me. But
maybe that's what happened with Pirates for me.
Yeah, it could be.
Wait a second.
But the treehouse. Yeah, you know what? Given what a treehouse usually is, I'll say it's great. Usually, you know, it's just a piece of plywood on a branch in the backyard. So I'm going to call it great.
That's your criteria.
There you go.
There you go. By that criteria.
Well, I'm allowed.
Autopia, great. Because given what a little go-kart normally.
Hey.
All right. Tarzan's Treehouse.
Treehouse is not built for me. It's built for an 8-year-old.
Tarzan's Treehouse is only great because it's a really cool place to watch Fantasmic from.
My eyes!
No, it is not great. Not great at all.
What's that? I try to find a way to work in that joke.
All right.
It should be like they should make it part of some sort of fitness thing on the biggest. Oh no, that's NBC product. You know, if that was on ABC,
they would go up the Starway.
They would have by now been like, okay, who can go up the treehouse the most in the next 5 minutes?
That's why it's not great. Haunted Mansion, great.
Great.
Yeah, it's great.
Great.
Splash Mountain,
great.
Great.
Great. Great.
Winnie the Pooh.
not great.
Seriously?
So not great.
No way.
I mean, I like it better than Florida's, but there's just something missing.
Winnie the Pooh?
No.
Florida's is missing Max, Buff, and Melvin.
Yeah. the mile-long bar.
What did you say to that one, Rebecca? Still can't think? Can't figure it out?
Think.
Do you need to go to your thoughtful spot?
Yeah, I need to have a speckle of honey.
You get free scoop at Häagen-Dazs yesterday.
Of honey?
of honey of bee flavored ice creams or something.
Why? Honey, honey, what was yesterday?
Some marketing. Something stupid. Moving on.
National Bee Day.
You know, it's a dark ride, but it's really cool. So I'm going to say it's great.
Winnie the Pooh is not great. Not by any stretch of any imagination.
Wake up,
did I miss anything in New Orleans Square? Disney Gallery is no longer there. The train is the train.
You missed canoes.
I'm coming back that way.
That's New Orleans Square, technically.
The canoes.
Country, I guess.
That's awesome. Canoes rock.
I love being yelled at. Not great.
not great. But, I have to take it into the kind of Main Street vehicle standpoint of that. It also adds a lot to the environment.
Yeah, it does.
So while being on the attraction is not great, watching it go by is quite fun.
When I think canoes as far as atmosphere...
Critter Country, a land on the move.
When I think canoes as far as atmosphere, I think of a really sweaty canoe cast member out in the ocean. The ocean. out in the river trying to get people to row. Not a pretty sight. No, it's definitely not great. You said great already, Rebecca? Yeah. No row, no go.
All I know is what other attraction can you have a cast member tell you to grab your oar, stick it in the green stuff, and row your guts out?
Thankfully... None. No.
That's what happened when I went on it.
That's
cute. Funny.
The rafts to Tom Sawyer Island.
Pirate Slayer.
The rafts to Pirate Slayer.
That counts.
Are you actually including Pirate Slayer in it as well?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, if you count Pirate, then great. Then.
But on the map, it says the rafts to Pirate Slayer.
Great in that.
Do they have the rafts back for Pirate Slayer, or is this like JetBlue and Aruba? Yeah, exactly.
It's great because it's the, Tom Sawyer. I mean, as much as I don't like going on it, just having that sort of unique experience is pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say it's great. Yeah.
It's not great. It could be better.
It could be better.
I've been to far better, you know, islandy kind of things.
It is great for
like
one
Redwood Creek Challenge Trail is better.
Yeah, but you don't have the cool like getting over there thing.
That's not that cool.
You have Mark Twain's gonna hit me. That
there's fun things.
And having to have all the cast members go with you.
We're taking up water. That's what I remember from my raft ride over.
See, like, it's a great playground and everything, but I'd say the environment is more fun at Pirate Slayer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's over great Redwood Creek. It is great. For one reason.
What's that? Phantasmic?
Could you get to go over there and act like you're Mickey?
Yeah.
You get to go over there and pretend you're Mickey Mouse? Yeah.
Phantasmic, great, not great.
Isn't it fun to sit there and watch people do that? I love to do that.
Today is the anniversary of Phantasmic as we record this.
Woohoo!
Phantasmic is great.
Yes, Phantasmic is definitely
great. Yeah.
Mark Twain?
It's a boat.
Not great.
It's great.
I would say great.
I would say not great just so a Columbia sailing ship can be great.
Oh, vice versa. That's a great.
Oh no, you got the thing underneath. You got the cannons.
Oh yeah, Columbia.
You can go in the wheelhouse. You can sit on bottom.
I've never been on the wheelhouse.
Up in the front by the water. You can go in the middle section and kind of go inside and act like
See, Mark Twain versus Columbia. Columbia wins.
Really?
Hands down.
Mark Twain, easy.
Especially when they put the fans out. You haven't heard that story?
No.
The reason they don't put the fans down is, not the fans, the sails down. It's because it actually caught a wind and it was like...
No, that's funny. Oops.
What do you prefer, Mark Twain or Columbia?
Mark Twain.
So you call it great?
Yeah.
And Columbia's not great?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's much more difficult to get around the Columbia.
Big Thunder Mountain
Not
Railroad.
Great. Not great. It's only great for one thing. Wildest ride in the wilderness. The ending might be the dumbest ending in the history of roller coaster dumb.
Now... Maybe, but Pirates of the Caribbean is just as bad, and you call that great.
But, what?
Because you go up, up, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
No, no. That's not meant to be a roll. That's not.
Then how come every boat has some little kid going?
Because there's somebody like you going, put your hands up.
Exactly. And there is a little dip.
Yeah, a little dip. Enough for you to know there's really nothing there.
Really? You don't like Big Thunder Mountain because of that?
I there's nothing special to me that offsets the fact that it's not a good roller coaster. That's basically what it is, and it's not a good roller coaster. I like Disney World's fine, but not Disneyland.
Wow. That's just funny.
I'm dumbfounded.
How about you,
Yes,
Cap?
You are.
I would say it's great.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Definitely great. I'm really shocked. I knew about
trick.
Jungle Cruise with you, but the goat trick.
Okay,
the
now the goat trick has never, ever worked for me.
No, that's because you're too drunk.
That might be it.
There's a difference. Jungle Cruise I don't like. I like Big Thunder, but I don't think it's great.
Big Thunder may be, let me think. Big
the
Thunder
wildest ride in the wilderness?
Is the best themed roller coaster not called Everest.
I like the Space Mountain more. And I like Big Thunder Mountain and any other park better.
The one at Disneyland?
Well, Disneyland and Disney World, I don't see a huge difference. Disney World's slightly better, but not much better.
So. Oh, see, I see a huge difference.
I see a big difference between
one
the
in Paris,
two.
One in Paris, I see a huge difference.
Well, yeah. No, I see the difference. No, really.
Disney World's a little better.
I have to admit,
better.
I'm sad that that it won't be little guy's first roller coaster. You know, because I'm not going to fly out there just because now he's tall enough to ride a roller coaster.
He can do it here.
Well, see, that's actually...
No, but he can go here. I know. But.
Speaking of the goat trick, though, Disneyland has a goat trick. We don't. By the way,
we have the rock trick.
The rock trick, yeah.
I'm really surprised
we have
at
the
that.
Earthquake part.
Isn't California?
No, I mean the little ride through the town. I like
the ride through the town.
It's a better ride here.
And the
they can both be great.
No, it's not that it's bad. It's not that it's not great. It's just not great.
But I love that 360. That big turn that you have.
And then you come out of it, and then you got the dip.
Oh,
and then you get a pound the thing on top when you go down. Under
keep your hands and arms inside the roller coaster.
No. I hit that every single time.
It's inside. If you were to draw a cone straight up to the sky, he'd be inside.
But
the only thing wrong with it is the last drop.
No, the best.
See, I like that part because my sister screams like an idiot. It's all called, and there's Rachel.
Well, in that little kind of straightaway part, I always scream, like right before I always scream as loud as possible.
It's got
right
the there. Part where you turn and you get to see the people over there waving.
You can take pictures of family easily.
The one strange...
You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
I'm just going to bring this up just because I found this so random. If you ride the Big Thunder Mountain in Florida at night, right before you go to the earthquake lift part, you'll notice that you're going to do this turn, and all of a sudden this like electric light bulb will just turn on when you reach that turn for some reason.
Very cool.
So, no, it's just kind of funny. It's like you're going, it's all dark, then all of a sudden you turn, and then they make sure to turn on a light.
That
and I just thought it was kind of funny. It's like, hey, welcome to the earthquake.
I always enjoyed that lift hill, and you could turn around, and you could look out over Anaheim.
Yeah, I love that. Or especially Fantasmic's going on.
The traffic on the 5, and then they...
Frontierland Shootin' Arcade.
I so don't understand.
Not great.
When I was little, I liked it.
Do you know if you go to if you use the gun the first time during the day, it's free?
Yes.
Is that true? Actually,
I know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
It's not great.
Who's gonna go there first?
It needs to go back to having real BBs. So that
yes, they would be great. And don't make the guns only face one way. Now we're talking fun.
Oh dear me.
Billy Hill and the Hillbillies.
Oh, beyond great. Phenomenal. Amazing.
Great.
Stupendous.
Great.
Must see. Hidden gem.
Not so hidden.
They're hidden.
I'm going to say great.
Okay.
And
stop right there.
No. Well, the one thing that I think makes them great is that you really get a sense of, like, people... It's like a community there, and not an annoying Disney community, but that's like the thing that makes Disneyland that, the swing dancing, that kind of thing. And while it's not my favorite show they've had there, and not necessarily what I would do with the space, I think it should remain, and it's great that it's there because it's a personal connection they have with Disneyland.
Okay, well, I agree with everything he just said.
Well, because of you, because of that, I won't vote against you if you're ever in line for Disneyland president.
Great, because the campaign starts. I got the primary. And
I didn't know they had that as a Democratic vote.
It would explain a lot.
Is that it for Adventureland, Frontierland, New Orleans Square?
Pretty lame land, huh?
Cool. Well, we'll save the rest for next time.
We didn't talk about the petting zoo.
They still have that?
They brought it back.
Great.
They brought it back.
Great. There's nothing greater than a petting zoo. Great.
That's great.
What?
I love
bigger
petting
animals.
Yes.
Really?
I ever since it reopened, I have not gone to Disneyland and not visited Big Thunder Ranch.
So fanboy scorecard. Petting zoo, great. Big Thunder Mountain, not great.
Correct.
Now I have somebody who will go with me over to Conservation Station.
Oh, I love Affection Section, especially the pigs.
Do you...
Doesn't get any better than that.
Is Doobie, do you not like petting zoos?
I find nothing particularly enticing about a petting zoo. I don't dislike it. I will do it, but, you know, what's the big whoop? I grew up on a farm. I used to...
Yes, a farm in the middle of southern L.A.
I'm not from South L.A.
I'm sorry, the petting farm in the middle of Bel Air.
I was trying to have some fun.
Alrighty. I think it's time for Brent. See what he has to say this week.
And Brent sends in another one. Really? A new limited edition Americana Figment plush has been spotted at Epcot Center. This makes the fifth limited edition plush Figment since Epcot's 25th. But yet, I will keep getting them as long as they make new ones. I'll see you're part of the problem. Okay. His voice. So for 12 weeks this summer, there will be proof of how much Drew Seeley rocks, as he will be playing Prince Eric on Broadway in Little Mermaid. Oh, cool. I can just see this leading to a pop version of Eric's song from the show Her Voice on an upcoming Disney Mania album sung by Drew. That's a good thing. So a huge congrats to him on getting the part. That's cool. I hope some recordings of that pop up. That'd be awesome. Okay, as you read
According to when Drew Seeley took over Radio Disney, he's going to be posting videos of the process. He's like the rehearsal process and everything leading up to him, his premiere on his website.
Cool.
Yeah. And now that I'm going to go watch ESPN.
As you read this, as this podcast is released, I should have sent in an LP live picture of me with the characters from Disney Pixar's Up at the new meet and greet at Disney's Hollywood Studios. From what I saw a video of the Disneyland pre-parade, the costumes look great, and if all goes well, I am thrilled that I got to meet Doug.
The dog, not D-Land Doug.
Gotcha.
I know also, many people will make that mistake.
Also, during Finding Nemo tonight on Disney Channel.
I got a hug, autograph.
Watch for a new sneak peek at the Tinkerbell movie. Woohoo!
What's that?
I thought that came out already.
During Finding Nemo on the Disney Channel, they're going to have a sneak peek Tinkerbell film.
Not much of a sneak peek.
The Wrath of...
the Tinkerbell film. That's exciting. Okay, goodbye to you. Virgin Megastore, bring in the IMAX and say goodbye to overpriced electronics. Float at the Magic Kingdom Parade. As a big Villains fan, this is a sad, sad fact. But I hope to see that same showing its age float back in October during Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. Marty Sklar.
The way that I loved you.
Even with a few weeks left, it will be very sad. Okay, I'm reading about Marty Sklar retiring. A little bit of decorum. Even with a few weeks left, it will be very sad to see such a wonderful guy retire. I wish he would stick around, but nothing can last forever, so I hope he has a happy retirement and takes the time to write a book for all of us to enjoy for years to come.
You think he can write?
I suspect Marty will be around quite a lot, even though he's retired.
Charles Boyer School of Retirement.
And finally, Brent says farewell to Star Tours 1.0. With all the news flying around about Star Tours, it should only be a matter of time before we hear about Boba Fett and Yoda, so start saying goodbye to Rex.
Oh, Rex isn't going to be... I just presumed Rex was going to be in the new one. Poor Paul Reubens.
How could he be in the new one?
Isn't it Paul Reubens?
He should be used to his programming by now.
Pull the tag!
They'll be introducing a new model which malfunctions. That's what'll happen.
I hear what's going to happen is they're going to go. Wrong. They're going to go through a singularity, and there's going to be a whole other timeline for Star Tours 2.0.
Thanks, Brett. It's time for the captain.
Wrong song.
I guess we did the theme song already. So last episode.
And that would have been 115.
115. That would be the
question mark edition.
You listened.
We were talking about Fantasmic and how they're going to be improving Fantasmic and everything. And so I asked you, the listeners, to post to your rendition of the entire intro spiel thing for Fantasmic.
And
it looks that to be that Hista 98?
Hista 98.
That'd be very good year.
Hista 98.
Unless you count Disneyland.
Hista 98 has posted and seems to be this 95%
week's or more
95%
correct.
Or more correct. Because, you know, he said, tonight, our friend and host, Mickey Mouse, whereas it's actually your, which is why. But that could have been a typo. Who knows?
Do you want to read his shout-out?
Let's see the shout out. Yay 2.0 or 2-0.
Yeah, I think that would be 2-0.
2-0. Working Fantasmic finally paid off. I don't really have any big shout outs this week, so I'll just say once again, go Anaheim Ducks and Angels. By the way, isn't the Fantasmic opening spiel said by Julie Andrews?
Is it?
No,
I don't think so.
Because she's not British.
Tonight, your friend and host.
Oh, that lady's not British.
Yeah. Dang, Julie Andrews.
Do you have a question for us this week?
Do I have a question
for them this week?
For them.
We do have one for us. We got quite the stumper this week.
Why don't we see what the stumper is?
All right. We got a Stump the Crew from Magnet, the end all Stump the Crews.
Reverse polarity of the Tachyon Pulse.
So.
Did we actually get any voice renditions? Nobody took
no
me up on that?
No one took us up on that. Which
is
a shame.
That is a shame.
We've got a couple of voicemails this week, but none regarding that.
I still want that dramatic reading by somebody. Just send it in sometime.
8669.
Especially if you're Julie Andrews.
What the heck?
866-718-9408.
All right. Stump the Crew. Fun with names and titles. Magnet created a PDF here.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
So you actually paid for, like, the full version of Acrobat?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, you can write it. Anyway, you don't need to have.
Then why does anyone? Never mind.
For things like forms entry.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to give the crew an idea of what we're looking at here.
Okay.
Okay.
One of these, and then you drop down. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Question number one. The Hannah Montana movie was recently released in theaters. Hannah rhymes with Montana. Name the title of a Disney Channel movie which rhymes in a similar fashion.
Disney Channel movie?
Disney Channel movie. So I'm going to erase my answer here.
Okay, so something that rhymes like Hannah Montana.
So would it be Hatching Pete or Dadnapped or Tiger Cruise?
I'm going to do like I did last time and know the answers here. So you three.
Or Luck of the Irish.
Smart House.
What's the one with the twins who play basketball?
Double Trouble. Am I right?
I think you're right.
I think you're right.
And I haven't even looked at the answers yet. I'm so excited.
We're so proud of you.
Because I can't think of one that was like a name. I was worried he was thinking of a name, but I can't think of one.
Still not quite human, no.
Dude, you're going way.
Tales of Avonlea.
Okay, I don't even know the answer. We can do this. The main character in the answer to number one resolved the dispute between the two quarreling groups in the movie.
Okay.
Oh, no.
We might not be right about that.
Oh, it must be a name, then.
Which means, hi, like before, we'll find out what the answers are.
Between two quarreling groups in the movie?
Two quarreling groups.
Is it that? It's not the Hanukkah one.
I'm going to Wikipedia and looking at list of Disney Channel
riddles. We can go on to the next question. You don't have to get them all to get the ultimate answer necessarily.
Well, that's
you can
fine.
Do it Wheel of Fortune style.
Okay, then I won't.
But we can't get the main characters in the answer to number one. You know what? This builds on each other.
Okay, let me look. Let's look down.
Thanks, Magnet.
And my outlook of the crowd.
Quince.
Quince, that's a good one.
Halloween Town.
Friendship.
Return to Halloween Town. Xenon, Girl of the 23rd Century.
Can you read the question again?
Even Stevens.
Okay, that was my first thought, but then I thought that was a show, not a Disney Channel movie.
There was an Even Stevens movie.
I was writing that in here. I'm so mad at myself.
Yeah, sure.
It totally had Even Stevens in here.
And that's the name there, Stevens.
Oh, man.
So. Way to go. Good job, you guys.
Okay, so the last letter of the first word in 23 is now an N, and the second letter of the second word in 1 and 12 is now a T. All right. The main character in the answer to number one resolved the dispute between the two quarreling groups in that movie. What are the names of those two groups? Use the plural forms. There will be no letter Y.
I didn't see it.
I saw it.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I couldn't really tell you.
Magnet, can we just declare you have stumped the crew?
Can we check to see if it's actually Even Stevens?
Yeah, that might
I'm
help
trying.
Things.
So the answer is Johnny Tsunami.
Yeah, I found that on Wikipedia.
So.
So I will bow out of the next question because I now know the answer to the next question. Okay.
So it's the two different schools, right? What's the question?
The main character in the answer to one resolved the dispute between the two quarreling groups in that movie. What are the names of those two groups?
The private school and the public school.
No. Nor is it the Socias and the Greasers.
One's the Urchins.
Yes.
Does
it have a sea creature motif?
No, I think it was like it had to do with like the skies or something.
It is the skies.
Oh, the skies, okay.
Very good.
So the urchins in the skies.
All right. Combine the letters from the two answers to number two.
Urchins and skies, like all the letters? Or just
yeah,
US?
So like it's one big long word.
Urchin skies.
Subtract the letters C.
Okay.
E. S. S. And I. Now rearrange the remaining letters to form two words from the title of a wacky Disney film series.
A wacky Disney film?
Right. Two words from that title. Not the whole title.
Oh. K-U-R-H-I-N-S. Kerhins.
Okay. Wait, so we should have... So I want to make sure. We should have the letters U-R-H-I-N-K-S.
There should be an H in there as well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. K-U-R-H-I-N-S?
Yes.
Okay. So...
that is two words.
A wacky Disney film series?
Right.
RunSync?
And that's not the whole title. That's just two of the words from the title.
I get RunSync. That's one phrase
RunSync?
I get over there. Oh, wait, that doesn't have the H in it.
I'm trying to think of series.
I'll give you a hint.
Is it modern or early?
Modern. A hint is one of the words is one letter. That would
Honey,
I Shrunk.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes.
Yay, I Shrunk.
What character did the lead star in number three voice in an animated Disney movie?
Either Ruck or Two.
Which movie was it?
See the Brother Bear.
Okay. And what character?
Oh.
Two.
Wrong.
Oh. Well, 50-50.
All right. Name the classic Disney animated feature in which the words in the title all begin with the same letter.
Brother Bear.
Classic, right?
Classic, correct.
And
Brother Bear is no classic.
Okay, Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. Fantasia.
Multiple word.
Dumbo, Bambi.
Make My Music.
Wasn't that a short within a larger animated feature?
No, that was one of the package features.
Okay, well, that's not
Fun and Fancy
for.
Free.
And.
And.
Do
those count?
Jungle Book. Sword and the Stone. Nope.
No.
You skipped over it.
Nope.
I was Cinderella. Peter Pan.
Yes.
Peter Pan.
Count the number of letters in the word... Excuse me. Count the number of letters in the first word of the answer to number five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Name an 80s Disney Channel series whose title begins with that number.
Hawaii 5-0.
No. 5. 5 Creek Trail.
Close.
Right? 5 Creek.
So close.
5 Creek something.
5 Crap. Mile Creek. All right.
Mile Square Park.
I never watched it. That was one of those click shows.
Yeah.
Danger Bay.
Who plays the part of Annie in the answer to number six?
So who plays the part of Annie in 5 Mile Creek?
That nobody ever watched, apparently.
I'm going to need a lifeline.
Let's see. Is it an actor do you recognize the name?
Oh, yeah. And I'm shocked.
Oh, really? Okay.
Unless it's a different one.
I doubt it.
You know, like that Tom Cruise that's on TV.
With the hover around. You don't look like you're from Mission Impossible. 5 Mile.
When was this
on? And Tom Cruise. How funny, because there's a direct relation from Tom Cruise to this person.
Katie Holmes.
Close.
His other wife.
Nicole
Kidman.
Was in 5 Mile Creek?
Apparently. She played Annie.
Fascinating.
Oh, cool.
And for bonus, what actor in the series goes on to future fame in a popular science fiction TV series?
Oh, you know
series?
What? I'll bet it was an Australian series that Disney Channel brought over. Like, they brought Canadians show
Life of Derek.
Do you know what actor in the series goes on to future fame in a popular sci-fi TV series?
Is it Lost?
I don't know this person.
No. It's not Zachary.
I'm trying to think of Australian science fiction people. I can only think of Desmond. And Alan Dale.
Ian Cusick.
Who is this guy?
Henry Ian Cusick.
He looks kind of like number
one. Wait, I thought Desmond was actually Scottish.
Who plays number
so
one?
That wouldn't really
Jonathan
help.
Frakes.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Oh, it's Jonathan Frakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, I recognize him.
Oh, he's now a director.
Okay.
And Desmond's Scottish.
Name another Disney Channel period drama, like the one in number six, and Adam the name Wade. Of the actress whose career it launched.
Avonlea?
Mm-hmm.
Felicity. No, she wasn't in it.
Felicity.
Sarah Polly and... Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell's on Mouse Club.
Yeah. It's not Sarah Polly.
It is Sarah Polly.
Oh, okay. I didn't shatter her.
It's a trick question.
Shows what I know.
Okay. After dropping the letters there, what you have there spells out. Somebody want to pronounce it for me?
Standeralis plumberensis.
What is that?
Standardless plum.
I expect one of the Kaplans to know what that is. Since you're not a Kaplan.
Standardless. My mom is here watching the little guy. That's why he hasn't been making any noise.
Standardless plum mar macy.
We've given it to my mom, too, to help out. Okay, so I'm supposed to be able to read this in such a way.
No, that is it. It's two words. Standarellus plumeraceae. That is the name of something from a movie that you have seen.
Oh, okay. So this is from Summer Magic.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm trying.
Oh, right. Sounds
from,
so familiar.
From,
don't say it.
So dear to my heart.
No. It's an item from it. It is the name of something.
Is it bread on some broomsticks?
No.
Am I in the right
that
era?
That makes sense.
Earlier
as
or later?
As in within, I'm not actually not honestly sure when this one came out, but okay. It's certainly within 15 years later than Bedknob and Broomsticks.
Oh, okay.
Probably 10.
Dude.
Pete's Dragon.
Nope, but it is live action, same era.
Meow. DC?
No.
No.
Oh, I tried.
Thomasina?
Oh, no, that'd be earlier.
You give up.
I give up.
It is a snowmobile in Snowball Express.
Oh, dude.
Made from the parts of two crash snowmobiles named
Standard
Plumbing and
Frivolous
Pharmacy.
Okay, you know who would have gotten this?
Who, Dad?
No, my sister. My sister would have gotten this. Don't you think, Captain, that my sister would have gotten this?
Congratulations, Magnet. You stumped the crew.
Magnet, that was ridiculous.
Dude.
You have to send us another
standard
one so you can, we can beat you.
Standard Plumbing and Rules Pharmacy.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks for sending that in.
All right. Thanks, Magnet. You have absolutely stumped the crew. And as a prize, we're going to actually play the voicemail you sent in.
Well, I hope congratulations are in order on your successful solving of my super stumper questions.
Mm.
All right. Just a couple quick notes to finish this off. The answer to the bonus question was, of course, Jonathan Frakes, who had a small role as Adam Scott, Maggie's husband. And I think we all know that Franks went on to be Commander Riker. Franks? Who's Banks? Franks. I meant Frakes. Frakes went on to be Commander... Oh, man, I gotta leave that in. Frakes went on to be Commander Riker in Star Trek The Next Generation. Make it so, number one. Anyway, also, Snowball Express features one of my favorite character actors, the wonderful Mary Wicks. Wow, now there's a career anyone could... there's a career anyone could be proud of. 50 feature films, 27 major Broadway productions, and 10 TV series. She was apparently a live-action reference model for animators working on Cruella de Vil. And she even went back to college in her 80s to get a master's in theater arts from...
Didn't she do half of Hunchback, too?
UCLA. Hey, I figured you would like that mention, Doobie. Gosh, could you imagine being the instructors that were teaching the classes that she was in to get her master's degree? I couldn't imagine that. I would feel like I should sit down and you should get up and do the instructing for me.
It'd be like directing Spock.
Wow. So... I thought that was interesting. And until next time, I leave you with those immortal words of inspiration and guidance. Keep your tips up, Sky.
What was that?
Guess it's a Snowball Express reference.
Ah.
I haven't seen that movie.
he's a funny guy. All right.
Jonathan Franks.
Thanks, Magnet. That was fun.
Yeah, and really hard. Before we close out today, though, we have the rarity of rarities. This may be a first, in fact. The first time all four LPP crew members have seen a movie for 50 words or less. And that movie is... Obsessed with...
No, you idiot, it's the opera.
That movie is Star Trek, the reboot, featuring J.J. Abrams.
We call it Control-Alt-Delete for short.
So, who wants to go first?
It was awesome. That's, like, what else can you say? It was fantastic.
Nay, it was beyond awesome.
It was fantastic. It was stupendous. It was
fantastical.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
S-U-P-E-R. Rebecca, would you be in agreement with these, whatever you want to call them?
I thoroughly enjoyed the new film. Went and saw it, and even though I don't typically go to large films because they're too large, and I like to see them on the small screen because they're too intense, but went to this one because it had music from Michael Giacchino.
Space Mountain.
who has created lots of fantastic music for Disney and for ABC. And and I was a Trek fan growing up and actually, you know, have a uniform in my closet. And
what was that mumble?
And so I was interested to see how they were going to kind of rebirth the franchise. And I thought that JJ did a really good job. I mean, because as a Trek fan, you have to kind of come to the realization that everybody's dying. And so you're not going to have any more Kirk
Except
films.
For those that are already dead.
You're not going to have any more, you know, True, Shatner, Nimoy. Well, okay.
DeForest Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Kelly, Doohan. You know, it's just not, it's not kind of there. So if you're going to have option B, this was terrific. And that's kind of how I feel. Unlike Battlestar Galactica, where I felt in many ways almost that they violated what it was before. This, and yet it was good. Don't get me wrong. I watched all of Battlestar Galactica, but I was very, I wish it would have been named something else and featured other characters.
Maybe Star Trek.
Whereas Star Trek, I still felt like I was watching Captain Kirk, not the same Captain Kirk I had, but it was still Captain Kirk. They didn't make him so unrecognizable, unlike, you know, Starbuck on Battlestar Galactica.
Female.
So, yeah, so I loved it, and I look forward...
Have you seen him lately?
I look forward to the continuing adventures of this.
They're going to franchise it?
And it also made me excited as a fan of Lost, because I've been a little concerned with the time travel... attention, Austria. I've been a little concerned with the way that Lost has taken some turns here, and it was a lot of the same writing crew and storytellers that are involved in this project as are involved in that project, and with the way that they kind of wove everything together here, it gives me hope for tonight's season finale of Lost.
Well, you get a lot in the 50 words.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't usually do this. I have to make up for lost time.
This is, well, how can you limit
I'll
to 50 words?
I'll donate 40 of my words to her.
I don't get to do this.
And
So you thought it was, what can you say? It's the best movie since Dark Knight.
Yeah.
When we got out, I thought, wow, that was like Iron Man. That was like out of nowhere and yet really good. And then after seeing it a second time, it's like 10 times better than Iron Man even.
Yeah.
It was
darn near perfect.
Really good. I mean, it has some of its, you know, flaws, you know, some
It had one big flaw. The only thing that kept it from being perfect was one big flaw.
Which was?
Spock! crappy villain.
He didn't kill the villain.
Yeah, the villain. Yeah, there were just some, you know, kind of clunky lines here and there.
Big hands.
I liked the throwaway lines to the classic nods. I liked the little touches to the... I mean, for example, when you encounter Montgomery Scott, he has a tribble in a cage on his desk. You know, and I would never have noticed it except for my Trek fan was like, I recognize that noise. That's a tribble. And so we're like scanning the screen looking for a tribble. You know, so it's little throwaway lines like that. You know,
red suit guy.
Olsen, yeah.
Red suit guy. And then this will probably end up being the last film where the computer voice will be Majel Barrett, Roddenberry's widow, because she has also passed away now. So... Yeah, it was a good.
Chapel, help me.
And I have to say, you know, when they did the cast for this movie, that they're really close to being, you know, to representing what the characters were before without being like impersonators. Do you know what I mean?
Which seems impossible, but they did it. Especially as iconic as Bill Shatner's acting
Billy
as Kirk.
Is what we call him. We're like,
I call him the Shat.
But there was one moment at the very, very end of the film where Chris Pine, that's who's Kirk in this one, right?
Yes.
Where Chris Pine comes out to the bridge, like the very one of the final sequences in the film, and he comes out on the bridge and he taps somebody on the shoulder and then he heads into the chair, and there's just this little kind of half step jump thing he did with it was like a double take for a moment. It was almost like, you know, young Shatner again. It was kind of creepy.
I would say Spock, the young Spock, was really good, and McCoy
got the characterization of the original character the best, though?
Twiggy?
Old Spock. He nailed it.
Rebecca, I know you're a Battlestar Galactica fan. How did Twiggy make it into this movie?
Stop it. First of all, Twiggy is a supermodel. Squeaky is a robot from Buck Rogers.
I am wrong on many, many, many levels.
So many levels.
What was your favorite line in the movie? Go, Captain.
Beady, 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 beady.
Oh, favorite line of the movie. Anything that McCoy said.
Okay, fair enough.
To paraphrase, my usual greeting that would one, be self.
That one's really good, too. Yeah.
That was an awesome one.
That would be a little bit self-serving.
Rebecca?
Oh, that's tough.
There I could do this. I could do this.
There was something at the beginning that I laughed at, and then I noticed you guys were staring at me. So whatever that was, I'm sure. Do you guys remember what it was?
I don't. I give an honorable
mention. Oh, I think it's when the guy who was jumping into the red suit was so gung-ho. Yeah. I was like, yeah, let's go do this. And you're like, oh, you poor thing. You have no idea what's coming.
How about you?
Yours was my favorite. My second favorite might be fencing.
Awesome.
I give an honorable mention. I think it was Wector Wector.
Wector Wector.
Wector Wector. Wector Wector.
Or when Bones keeps giving McKirk shots and he goes, yeah. Stop that! Stop shooting me.
So in best news of all, Angels and Demons comes out this weekend, so we get to see it one more time.
There's no new movie for you guys to see. You're going to go see Star Trek again, huh?
Yeah, as well.
Yeah. You should go out to Kennedy, see it on the IMAX.
That's almost tempting.
Yeah.
Do they have pizza?
I told you, it's Kennedy. Whatever it is, it tastes terrible.
And it comes in a powder form. I'm going to add water.
I got ice cream there. It was awful.
But, Uhura. You had
problems. That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I didn't have problems with it. What bothered me was this film lacked the attractive female to play opposite one of the male characters that a film like this usually would have.
I'm just going to point
Which
out.
Which Star Trek film has had that?
None.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Well, okay, Star Trek 2 had Lieutenant Savick.
Yeah.
I'm just going to point out the irony here. Because
Back to Home had the lady on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the mom driver? From...
First Contact had the Borg Queen.
Yeah. Oh, well, one of them had Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm just asking.
No, I'm just going to point out the irony in this, in that she was from Pirates of the Caribbean, so no wonder you would think she was
the
weakest part.
That's the same lady?
That's Anna Maria from the first one.
Oh, okay.
Not the Voodoo Queen, not Tia Dalma. She was Anna Maria, the first one.
I mean, she was a good character.
I just find it
she
funny.
She just wasn't that attractive female lead I would expect to see in such a film.
I just think it's funny. Pirates of the Caribbean will always do it.
The green lady looks better.
Green lady. Green skin.
Yeah. Anyone got anything else to say before we close today?
Mania.
Mania.
Mania. That's right.
Mania.
Mania.
Oh, not really. Okay, here's something to tell you guys. This is the disappointing element of my life.
Uh-oh.
So, Manta's logo, the new coaster out at SeaWorld. The way that the artwork has been designed, if you take a quick glance at it and you have no concept as to the fact that it's based upon a manta ray, you would come to the conclusion, as Fanboy and Doobie have, that the attraction name is Mania. And so, thenceforth and forevermore, it is known as Mania in their world. Well, on Mother's Day, Doobie, Gideon, and I went to SeaWorld because that's where I like to go. It's one of my favorite places, and we went to see Pets of Hoy, one of my favorite shows. And as we're sitting and waiting for the show, there's a family of three behind us discussing their day at SeaWorld. Where should they go next? Oh, we should go ride Mania.
Yeah.
Yep. They validated the idiocy of Fanboy and
Wow.
TV. So I
that
have
awesome.
No hope of ever getting them to call it
that
anything
awesome.
But Mania. Okay, but go ahead and share your ride, Captain.
I'm just going to say...
we haven't ridden it.
Right. Yeah. They've really knocked it out of the park, I think,
it
with
is so
Manta.
Quiet.
Oh, it's quiet, and the way that, you know, what they've done to the whole, what the coaster has been able to do to the whole entry area, they've really made it really just gorgeous.
It's amazing how organic they made it seem, even though it's obviously not.
Yes.
It just seems like it kind of just grew out, this coaster grew out of the ground.
Right,
I was really impressed. I was really impressed.
And then when you're walking in and you see the coaster, you know, and the splash effect and everything, just a really... They've made a scream machine, you know, elegant somehow, you know?
Yep.
And I would say the ride itself was, the queue, it's really well designed because most of it is indoors and you have
nice. This
large aquariums to look at while you're waiting, you know?
Aww.
So you're in these caves and you're going through and it's kind of, you know, dimly lit, but you have this huge manta, well, not manta,
Mania.
This ray tank, because manta rays are huge.
Right.
And it's just filled
they have a rays in there.
A whole bunch of rays.
Oh,
and
usually it's cool. A manatee, by the way.
And so I think...
How about the ride itself? What's your favorite element of the ride itself?
The favorite element of the ride itself? Well, I've never been on a flying coaster, and there's only so few of them. So
right,
I'd say
yeah.
That experience is really interesting.
Just looking down at the... Did you look down at the ground as you went on that launch
you could... Yeah,
The uphill?
Yeah. The kind of neat thing about the lift hill is that it's a retractable floor. So that means when you're on the lift, you're not just looking at, you know, an escape route. You're looking at the... You're actually looking down at the spectators
below. Wait till that doesn't work.
It's fun for the families, too, because we know there's a lot of families
park
out there
to take
pictures of their family members flying
loads
over them.
Of pictures.
That's cool.
It's great that you can watch them on the lift hill, too, the slow part.
Yeah.
You can watch
you can
be just standing below your family.
Well, also... There's also plenty of other places, too, because it's all over the pathways, and you've got the pretzel loop, which is pretty much a loop that goes upside down. So there's a viewing area just right there for you to look at.
But it manages
to stay quiet.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. For those of you who aren't familiar with what Manta is out here, it's a SeaWorld's coaster where you're flying. So in essence, what happens is you're seated, and then your seats pivot so that you're, you know, laying, looking down at the ground as you go through this track. And one of the elements of it is what people have referred to as the pretzel, as far as I know.
Uh-huh.
And when you go up in the air, when you're at the top of it, your body is looking down at the ground. But then as you go through the loop, you end up at the bottom of the loop. You're on your back looking up in the sky.
And
then
you, all the way
continue
back up
all the way through that. So, I mean, just envision that kind of loop where instead of, you know, usually with a loop, your body kind of maintains its center in the same way because of the way the track
is.
And
you're going up and everything.
Yeah.
You know why they do that? Trivia.
Trivia.
Because your chest couldn't take the G-forces if you're on your...
No, oh, makes sense. So it's very cool. And it has a few barrel
which
rolls.
Which is encouraging.
They found that out the hard way.
I went to this event, right? And the head of Busch Entertainment's there. And he's telling me that. And I'm like, but what happens if I have a weak back? If my chest usually can't handle it, I don't want my back to be handling it, even if it can.
So when they when you rode it a few times, right? I've heard the front of the coaster is very different than the back. I've heard that your experience can differ greatly depending on where you position yourself.
I mean, I didn't make it to the front, but I was pretty much in the middle vehicle and second to last the second time around. And the first time, I would say it's much. I wouldn't say tamer exactly. It's just a different experience because the way you're pulled, you kind of lurch into certain elements of the ride. There's kind of more of a floating kind of feel on some things, whereas in the back, there's a lot more force, a lot more pulling. It feels more like Mission Space at some parts if you're in the back. Like the pretzel loop, once you reach the bottom of that pretzel loop, it's really pushing down on you. You can feel
the
skin pulling.
Good thing you don't have a floor then.
are you as enthused as he is, fanboy?
That's a great ride. Great.
It's just
best roller coaster in Central Florida.
It's just designed really well.
The best roller coaster in Central Florida?
Yeah, I mean, there's some that are themed better, but if you're talking about roller coaster...
Better than Hulk?
Oh, yeah.
Better than Dueling Dragons?
Yeah.
Better than the Flying Unicorn?
yeah.
Wait. I'm go back and forth on whether or not I'll try it, so...
You should at least
do the back. I mean, I didn't do the back, because there's that... you can tell the G-forces. But if you're in the middle to front, I was in, back middle and up to the front, it's not bad. I mean, it's almost more elegant than thrilling.
Right.
I mean, you're thrilled because you're like, this is not something I should be doing, but you don't feel it as much.
Yeah, that's the one thing. You see the track of Manta, and you see there's lots of barrel rolls and turns and everything, but it's not really designed to be blow your mind, thrill seeking.
Well, I would hope not, since if I do vomit, I'm going to hit the people beneath me. There's nothing to contain it.
But
I'm sorry, that's the first thing I thought of when I was.
I'm just kind of saying it's more about sweeping motions and how when you do the inversions and everything, it kind of eases into everything, and so it's very kind of has a nice flow to it. It's not about kind of jerking you over here or jerking you over there. It's very smooth.
Well, I guess that's it.
So, I give it top marks. I think SeaWorld really has a hit.
I have an off-topic thing I want to bring up.
Go for it.
All right. Awesome.
As you know, it's season finale time, and so there's a lot of speculation on, you know, who's going to give birth, who's going to die, and all those things. Well, the writers of Psych
are kind of fed up with this. So I follow them on Twitter, and they have decided to send fake, yet possibly true, things that are going to be happening on their show. So spoiler, Austria, possibly. Season 4, episode 15, will be a 52-minute infomercial for the Magic Bullet. Writer Saladin Patterson got his start as a writer on USA's Silk Stockings.
Oh.
Jake Lloyd was originally cast as young Sean, but couldn't deliver the line, "I'm a person and my name is Anakin," to save his life. And
that's mean.
The plot for an evening with the plot for an evening with Mr. Yang was taken from a Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers episode.
That's awesome. I want to follow them.
Rescue Rangers.
It's
the real
the real psych writer.
Twitter.
What is it? Yep, Server Center available.
There's one important thing, as you look for that, we didn't mention today that's actually Disney-related that I thought should be brought up, and that would be...
Disney Channel Stars Cruisin'?
That would be the one. Disney.com.
Not the Mickey's Fun Wheel Awesome LEDs?
No.
Oh,
I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, okay, well, to all people listening here, you know, go on YouTube, look up, you know, Mickey Fun Wheel and watch the LEDs. It's really pretty. It does colors and patterns, and it's all nice.
Kind of like the Fun Wheel did before?
No, the sun wheel just kind of twinkled and kind of did. But no, this is really cool.
At Kodak, we're all about relationships. We bring people together through images and are thrilled to work with Disney Channel to help Disney fans share their magical vacation memories. If that doesn't get you excited,
so pretty much what this is go cruising with the stars. If you're a fan of Tiffany Thornton of Sunny with a Chance, July 9th and 12th, she will be on the Disney Wonder. Nicole Anderson of Jonas will be there July 9th and 12th as well. July 16th and 19th will be Mitchell Musso and Jason Earls of Hannah Montana.
You're saying 16 and. You mean 16 through, or they're just there those 2 days?
You know what? The way this is written, this says July 16 and 19.
So they're coming on before the ship sails and coming back when it docks.
I didn't want to change it at all because I didn't really understand what it meant, so I left it that way.
Okay.
This says each cruise during this summer at sea will include multiple Disney stars. Among those scheduled to sail include... So they're sailing.
Okay.
Maybe it's just that those days they'll have something special to do or something. Right. Jason Dolly of Hatching Peak, July 23rd, 26th. Debbie Ryan from Sweet Life, July 30th. And Allison Stoner on August 2nd. Now... They also say that talent is subject to change, and there could be more stars coming. You never know. Look for up-to-date information at disneycruise.com/summer-at-sea.
Yeah, if you follow Disney Cruise News on Twitter, they, like, give out a star a day or something like that. So,
which I believe is DCL News.
Yeah.
At DCL News.
Yep. Oh, so speaking of Twitter, I thought I would share with you a little story of Doobie learning about Twitter.
I'm curious to hear this because you've been talking about it.
So we created a Laughing Place Twitter account. It's laughing_place. You know, so you can follow the adventures of Doobie and Rebecca as they go to theme parks, Disney news, as we discover it, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, what Twitter's used for. The other day, and Doobie thought, you know, I want people to be able to differentiate between who's saying it. So when I post something, I'll put Doobie: whatever the comment is, and if it's something from you, I'll put Rebecca: you know, whatever it is, right? So the other day we were at the Magic Kingdom, and I sent a picture to Live of Cinderella Castle because I was just struck by how beautiful it was and how even though it was hot and oppressively humid, it was just an incredible scene.
It was a beacon of hope.
Yeah, it was just nice. So I sent the picture with the caption, "Hot, humid, yet still magical." Well, Doobie decided that he would share this with everybody on Twitter. So he opens up his little phone and starts typing in, Rebecca: hot, humid, and still magical, said. About an hour later, we get a call from Fanboy saying, Doobie, do you know what you just sent on Twitter? So, yeah. Thankfully, he had included a link to the picture. Or else it could have been really interesting. But yeah, so that was a little embarrassing. But, you know, Doobie's still learning how to use Twitter.
Yes, I'm new to this computer thing. I know what ADODB era means.
So yeah, so that was fun. She goes, I think we're going to have to come up with another way to differentiate between what we're all saying. I'm like, you think?
Oh, there's so many places you could go with that.
happen at home.
Yes. Awesome. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah, that was fun. It's been a fun show.
I think we managed to cram it all in our three-hour extravaganza.
Yes, that we will edit down to 22 minutes. No, 90 minutes, exactly. Podcastlastwords.com.
866-718-9408.
And until next week...
Get lost.
Which is why we don't let you do that part of the show.
I've got your gun.